All right, let it rip.
Hello and welcome to Medi-Call episode 220. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
Yo.
Yo, it has been some time and we have a shit ton, a literal shit ton, a metric shit ton of Modern Horizons to talk about. Back in mid-May, we last convened with the first look at the Modern Horizons spoilers, and there's just way more to talk about than we could possibly do in 1 hour today. So we're going to have to like control ourselves from just going 3 hours on this and maybe save some of the conversation for next time. But man, Daryl, I don't even know. I can't even wrap my head around all of these things that are going on with this set. It's kind of insane.
It's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, let's set the ground rules for folks that we're going to talk about. We also do play Commander and stuff, but we are going to try and look at stuff that inspires us for Modern only here, because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. It is a Modern Horizons set after all, so we should concentrate on that. But sponsor time?
But yeah. Sponsor time,
before
man.
Before we get into it. Huh? Yeah, use
for
the promo.
Trading, go ahead.
No, go, you do it.
I don't know the promo code.
All right. Manatraders.com. Use the promo code CardKnockLifePodcast_5YB for 14% off your first 3 months at checkout. That's the one. You're going to need that because I don't know if, you know, if you're listening, if you played back in the days of the original Modern Horizons set, but this one is bound to be pricey. And, let me just be level with y'all right now. And I don't mean to like put a damper on the excitement of this whole set, but I see all of this stuff and I'm very psyched for Modern cards, right? I'm very psyched to play Modern with all of these new toys, but I am also shaking in my boots for all of these cards that are just so incredibly powerful. All of these old classic, you know, reprints into Modern, and just knowing that the availability for these cards on MTGO is going to be so incredibly low that we're going to have just like more and more of these $80 ticket pieces that are going to be needed four ofs in these decks, and now just tons of them are being infused. So Modern was already ridiculously expensive. Now it's going to be ridiculously expensive with all of this new stuff. And a lot of this stuff just straight up pushes other things out of the format, does it not?
Possibly. I don't know, just because I don't know what things you're thinking about.
Well, let me just give a quick example of Dothy Voidwalker, for example. And sure. Like I can't even like name a deck right now that this belongs in, but just like the power creep on these cards, where we've talked about this over and over, it's like they no longer have drawback. This has no drawback. I mean, Shadow, the drawback is it can't block creatures that don't have Shadow. But this is a 2-mana 3/2. That can't be blocked, right? So that's straight up pretty freaking good as an aggressive creature, right? Oh, but by the way, if a card would be put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead with a void counter on it. That's pretty freaking good. You can tap and sacrifice Dothy Voidwalker. Choose an exiled card an opponent owns with a void counter on it. You may play it this turn without paying its mana cost. I mean, like, it's hard. You'd be hard-pressed to find something that would replace this card in a deck that would be interested in playing this card that was printed any time before this card existed.
So, let's look at this card the way it really reads, because that last part of the text box doesn't really matter. It's a 3/2 one-sided rest in peace that's unblockable.
Yeah.
For 2 mana.
I mean,
I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it too. It's no doubt it's good. That's the thing, but that's what I'm saying is like there when you see a card like this that shows up in the set, it's like there's no reason not to play it, and then you need it. You know, you need it. So it's like if you don't have it, then you're just playing an inferior version of it, and so then you're just a scrub, right? So you might as well be shelling out for the four copies of this guy for your deck.
Yeah.
So that's why you need Manatraders.com. That's all I'm saying. But anyways, let's get to the fun stuff. We can not talk about the negative financial implications about this, because that's a conversation for a different day. Let's just focus on the positives here, the excitement of the designs of some of these things.
Yeah, I mean I'm just gonna bounce down. We're going in date spoiled order up to today. So we hit that card. I don't think there's particularly anything exciting that I want to speak. This card's going to be very good in the set in Modern, which is Rakdos Headliner. It's a red and a black for a 3/3 haste with Echo. Discard a card. It's just a very good aggressive creature.
Yeah, there's another one. Where do you see that going?
I mean, I don't know. Like, you're like there. If there's a red beatdown deck that's not Prowess, you can put this in it, and like you just have a 3/3 haste that, like, if you can figure out how to leverage discard a card as an upside, then you're going to have a lot of space. You have the new Root Walla that you can discard. Like, this thing has legs. It's just a big, hasty body.
Yeah. How does Hollow One read?
If you discard a card this turn, it reduces its cost by 2. Yeah. So this would affect Hollow One.
And then there is, like, you know, you got is it Fiery Temper is the one that has Madness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of red-black synergy with Hollow One. This might be a card that kind of reshapes those types of decks.
Yes, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Cool thing that I just see scrolling by is Riptide Laboratory. It's just going to be fun to have in the format. It's like a pet card of mine that I enjoy playing with.
Yeah.
It's a colorless land that has one and a blue, tap it, return target wizard from their battlefield to your hand.
From the battlefield
that you control. Hand? Yes, correct. From the battlefield to your hand. What? So you can use it to, like, save your Snapcaster from removal or blocks, Vendilion Click, Bob, like whatever other wizards you can think of that you're playing. But just good for enter the battlefield wizards to, like, have that synergy, Venser, things like that. I don't know if it'll see a lot of play, but it's like a very solid one of. Spellstutter Sprite is another wizard that I often see it paired with.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that this might be, like, it's tough with, like, big, like, splashy control decks with the mana, like, the color needs, but and Grixis is one that's pretty high on, like, the specific color pips. But I could see, like, Grixis control where they're playing, like, Vendilion Click and Snapcaster Mage wanting this to go, like, in the late game.
This also protects Kess.
Kess
is a wizard.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be pretty mana intensive, but that is the thing that you can do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I mean, it's just, like, a protection spell for Kess after you untap. But, yeah. These are all things, just like, think of a wizard. Does it have another battlefield ability? You can kind of use it to your advantage. But yeah, I've definitely used this in Legacy to bounce Venser or to bounce Spellstutter Sprite and repetitively use their end of the battlefield abilities. So
yeah,
just a fun card that's nice to have around. I don't necessarily know if it'll see a ton of play, but just a thing to think about. I'm going to cover kind of all of this as a giant class, and the class is going to be Enchantress.
Yeah.
So Sethys Hand of Harvest is the new card, which is a white-green legendary enchantment creature, Nymph 1/2. It's a rare, and then whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you gain a life and draw a card. We also reprinted Enchantress Presence and Solitary Confinement, so there is a lot of Enchantress-style shenanigans opening up into Modern. So the only real super big Legacy enchantments that, like, aren't necessarily Modern legal or cards that we're seeing playing Enchantress are, like, the Moat style cards and then, like, Wild Growth. Other than that, like, you have the majority of green white Enchantress and Sarah Sanctum, but you have the majority of green white Enchantress because we also got Sterling Grove as well. So
yeah, that's a sweet new inclusion in Modern.
And for people that don't know that one, it's an enchantment. It's white, green. Other enchantments you control have Shroud, and you can pay one and sacrifice it to search your deck for an enchantment and put it on top of your library.
And that's another one, like, that they kind of get some dual purpose out of, because that's a high-priced one that Commander players are going to be interested in having.
Yes. Yes, it is. So it's kind of a dual purpose of getting more copies of that into circulation. But that, I have a feeling that day one, you're going to need to pack your Abrupt Decays, and you're going to want to warp the format. The format's going to warp a little bit. And I actually think this might put prowess in a bit of an awkward spot. So you don't have elephant grass, which is like the primary stopgap for early game attacks that Enchantress had in Legacy, but kind of the Ghost League prison stuff taxing your opponent, and then Solitary Confinement, which for those of you that don't know how that card works, it is you have Shroud, skip your draw step, damage can't be dealt to you. So basically, and then on your upkeep, you have to discard a card. So you don't draw extra cards, you don't draw any cards, and you discard it. You have to discard a card to keep it in play. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have to sacrifice it, but you don't take damage and you can't be targeted. So Solitary Confinement basically means you're untouchable as long as you can draw extra cards.
Nice.
Which your Enchantresses do for you. So that is sort of the end game plan for Enchantress, and then just figuring out how to not die or how to kill your opponent, which Sigil of the Empty Throne exists and various other things. But you kind of figure it out from there. But yeah, all that kind of put together is going to be an engine that might slow down or affect the prowess decks in some way. Yeah. So we'll have to see how that works out.
There's like a lot of callbacks in this, like those like Enchantress style cards, like seem like not only like callback like mechanically to like a lot of the Enchantress cards of like sets past, but the art too like looks like it comes from the green white commander god deck. I'm looking at Sith this, by the way, but I can't even think of that guy's name. But the one that searches out like the forests and plains, like it's very much in the style of like Born of the Gods. Yeah, Karametra, thank you. But it's really cool to see like this set has a little bit of something for everybody, where there's like, you know, there's like the classic, like the vintage old school frames that you can get for some of these cards. There's a lot of cards that are like legacy cards that modern players have been longing to play with. We'll get to some of those in a second, I'm sure.
We're actually going to as soon as we're done with this conversation on the Enchantress class.
There's even the plane shifted cards too. Like this isn't anything terribly notable, but like Basking Root Wallow was like one of my favorite cards to play in like the Torment block, or was it Torment block or Odyssey block, I suppose. And now there's like the red color shifted version of it that's being printed, and there's a couple of other versions of that. There's like split second cards, like old mechanics coming back. So that's really fun stuff. But Daryl, I imagine you're talking about Shardless Agent.
That is correct. One green blue for a 2/2 artifact creature, human something or other. I don't remember the other type.
Human rogue, which is rogue. Maybe relevant. Human rogue.
I mean the rogues deck, yeah, kind of relevant. And then it just has Cascade. So, Shardless Bug, you're moving closer to playing Shardless Bug as an availability. Really, the only Shardless Bug legacy cards that aren't available are Force of Will and Hymn to Torak. But you have, like, Ancestral Vision and Brainstorm, which really sets up your Ancestral Visions. But you have Jace, you have Liliana, Tarmogoyf, Scavenging Ooze, the various things like that. So, you're getting closer. Baleful Strix is replaced by Icefang Quaddle. So you're getting closer and closer to being able to play Shardless Bug. I'm sure people will try it. It probably won't be terrible. But,
is that just a value deck straight up, or is there something to it?
Yeah, let me see if I can. It like the combo is like use Brainstorm to set up Shardless Agent plus Ancestral Visions.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's like a mid range deck. Let me look one up.
Okay.
Real quick, and I'll kind of give you the rundown of that.
So it's just a lot of low costed cards that do a lot of things, basically.
Yeah, it's like low costed efficient cards. Like I just grabbed a random one off of Reddit, and it's 4 Baleful Strix, 4 Tarmogoyf, 4 Shardless Agent, a Leovold, 2 Liliana, a Jace, 3 Ancestral Vision, 4 Brainstorm, a Fatal Push, 3 Ponder, 2 Abrupt Decay, 4 Assassin's Trophy, 3 Hymn to Torak, 4 Force of Will, 20 lands, and then just like sideboard cards. So like, yeah, it's just like a fair bug mid-range deck.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so I don't know. Those decks, like, they're good in the environment that they exist in, and like Legacy is like more of a value format than Modern in a lot of cases. Like Modern just seems like a really combo-y format at times, right? Maybe not now, but But like when you try to port over, like I'm always like wanting to do like Maverick in modern, or you know, there's like the Nick Fit decks, and I'm always like, yeah, it'd be great to play those. But they just don't always work out because the environment is so different. So I guess you have to keep that in mind. It's exciting.
Missing key cards.
Or yeah,
missing key cards is really important. So like for Nick Fit, you need Veteran Explorer,
right?
To really accelerate you, but that doesn't really work in modern because Path to Exile is one of the primary removal spells, so there's upside to playing basic lands. But yeah. Cool card that people will try and cheat in modern is Gaia's Will, which is spend 4 for a green until end of turn. You make play lands and cast spells from your graveyard. If a card will be put in your graveyard from anywhere this turn, exile instead. So it's Yawgmoth's Will, suspend 4 for a single green.
Before we leave, Charlotte's Agent, though, I have a question about that one, just because you know this card way better than I do. Is there something like in modern that you might be able to do with this combo wise that you can't do with the other 3-cost cascade spells based on the fact that it's a creature? Or does it, I guess you have to cast it still, right? In order to get the cascade.
You do have to cast it still. One thing that this three mana spell specifically opens up that it doesn't get opened up for by the other cascade spells is that it's functional inside the Thopter Foundry combo. Because it's an artifact that you can sacrifice to kick that off.
Yeah.
So just kinda like I've played shardless bug decks with Stoneforge Mystic to like Shardless Agent into my Thopter Foundry and sack it to my Thopter Foundry to get my Sword of the Meek back.
Yeah.
So like that is a thing I've done in Legacy before. So that's the only real combo-y thing I can think of that this is going to enable, is like being functional in a Thopter Foundry deck.
Okay. All right. So
maybe this gets put in Urza.
So that's pretty neat. I think just like the artifact functionality is always kind of interesting. You could like play like Emery or something with it, and
yeah, know, you could play it off of Emery also if it dies.
Maybe this replaces Oko in those kinds of decks. Same mana.
Not exactly.
Doesn't do the same thing, but same cost. No. Anyway, so you're talking about Gaia's Will. Then, if a card would be put in a graveyard from anywhere this turn, exile that card. Until end of turn, you may play lands and cast spells from your graveyard. So
it's literally Yawgmoth's Will.
Oh, it is. Okay, but with the suspend, obviously. So yeah this is but just another. I mean, this is a combo card, right?
This is a combo card, but it's like really awkward because it's like, how are you gonna fire it up? Like, where are you getting your benefit from, right? So you suspend this, and then like you set up your graveyard for in 4 turns to like you just fire off all your rituals, I guess, before this resolves, and then it resolves, and you fire off all your rituals again. But then you're firing off all your rituals on your upkeep instead of in your main phase, where you can cast your like Gifts Ungiven, or to where you can cast your like Storm spell. So like,
oh yeah,
puts you in a tough spot.
Well, what do people do with Yawgmoth's Will in Legacy?
It's banned in Legacy.
Oh, and then Vintage.
They use it with Black Lotus.
Oh, I see.
They use it with Black Lotus and Ancestral Recall and Time Walk and other sorts of things. It's just like you go for it with like your Paradoxical Outcomes or whatever, and you come up short. Well, okay, I guess I'll Demonic Tutor for Black Lotus. Black Lotus, Yawgmoth's Will, replay Black Lotus, break Black Lotus, and like try and go off again.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is probably like, not what you want. There's a lot of other suspend cards that are more interesting.
No, just know that people will try and do broken things with this card.
They'll try, but I'm thinking there's got to be others that are just more valuable. Like, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, speaking of suspend cards, there's also the Soul Talisman. Should we talk about this?
No. Not much to talk about. Ring with suspend 3.
I think we have to acknowledge the fact that it's one of those flashy, splashy, like fixed, you know, like very classic pieces of Magic history that is just not going to really affect modern, likely.
I mean, I agree with that.
It's
fixed Soul Ring.
And this is something where the rules change, and I know that Blake, thanks for reaching out to us on that when we were talking about Urza's Saga last time, but we were incorrect about the rules on like mana cost and mana value, And now because this one
doesn't have a mana value.
Yeah, so this one doesn't have a mana value, so it couldn't be searched for like with an Urza's Saga, for example.
No, but worth noting, if you play a bunch of these and suspend it on turn one, you just like turn 4/6 mana. So like if you hit all your land drops. So like this is a Titan enabler, but
Yeah, that's like the dream. But imagine drawing this like turn five, it's just
and
so,
just
it's
wanting so to throw it into the next room. I know.
At least it's a rare. It is a rare, not a mythic. Yeah, they could have very easily made this a mythic, but
they could.
I mean, in Commander, even then, it's like
nope. I mean, yeah, I it's know. Another Soul Ring that you can reanimate from the graveyard with various like open the vaults tricks and things like that. Oh, so like,
it's just too much effort.
Too much effort.
At that point, you're going to pay 2 mana for a mana rock that does the same thing, or 3 mana, I should say.
So. It's usually 4, but yeah.
All right.
One Power Stone's the only one that does 2 for 3, and like Grim Monolith.
Was there another suspend card out there? I thought I remember there was one.
There are other suspend cards, but we haven't scrolled down to them yet. The next thing on the list here is Ignoble Hierarch.
Okay, all right. Ignoble. Is it ignoble or ignoble?
I'm just saying ignoble. It could be ignoble. I don't know how to say it. But Ignoble Hierarch is a green for a 0/1 Goblin Shaman with Exalted that makes Jund.
Yeah, it taps for
Jund. So it's Noble Hierarch that taps for Jund. Goblin Irrelevant Tribe, so you can play it in your Goblin deck off your Cavernous Souls. Plays all your different Goblins. Does this restructure Jund? Like old school Tarmogoyf Jund into like Deathrite Shaman was super busted and made people rethink the way they built Jund. Does this do that too?
Well, let me pull up a Jund deck. Off the top of my head, this allows for a lot of shenanigans. Like turn two Liliana of the Veil. Like that's a pretty freaking powerful play.
That's the primary thing, yeah.
But I'm trying to think like what else. I'm sure there's more, you know, because there's like Kolaghan's Command and stuff that are like lesser played cards that will probably be like more played.
More 3 drops will be played.
Plus this guy, it doesn't suck on his own just to be a dude, just to be a little beater, but it is a card that say that again.
More Exalted guys for Infect.
Yeah, so Jund is playing a lot of 2 drops, though. That's the thing. It's a little awkward with that. Yeah. Seasoned Pyromancer is a 3 drop. Bloodbraid Elf is a 4 drop. It's got Kroxa, Skooz, and Tarmogoyf for all 2 drops, and Renin 6 is
that's
a 3
why I'm
drop.
Asking you restructure your Jund deck to try and take advantage of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there might be that there's like 2 different schools of Jund after this. Where you have like the 2 drop Jund and then you have like the 3 drop Jund. And the 3 drop Jund is going to have like much more explosive potential, but be prone to like much more blowouts.
Yeah. I think people have been calling that Jund Boomer Jund, but as a joke. But
which one?
But yeah. Like 2 drops, like Tarmogoyf stuff like that. Like Tarmogoyf. Like,
that's going to be the old version, the Boomers.
Yeah. Boomer Jund. Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the card's great.
It's proven. It's proven to be a good card, no doubt. Listen, there was a time when Noble Hierarch was like $60 to $80 a piece, you know, and it kind of fluctuated in that range. Do you remember that? And it was like only available from Confluence or whatever.
Conflux,
thank you. And like that was a standard legal set. So if Ignoble Hierarch is at all like a playable card, it's going to be a 4 of, right?
Yeah,
it's going to be insane. It doesn't matter that it's a rare. This is going to be like, I don't know if they announced the MSRP of these packs, but I think it's like $10. So if you're interested in playing this card, you better capture your 4 real quick because it's not like any one of these cards. This I promise I'll stop. I'll stop ranting about this. But any one of these cards, if it's a new added card to Modern, if it's a newly printed card, new design, I should say, it's unlikely that it's going to see a reprint in a standard set, or it's going to see a reprint at all until like another Modern Horizons or Masters set in the future. So it's going to be some time before it gets that treatment. So. Makes me a little nervous on that, but I am excited to see this guy. And a goblin is really cool. Like, goblins need a 1 drop. This is probably, like, enough for goblins to be interested in just being green-red. But I'm not sure if there's enough other.
Oh, you don't get rid of the black cards. The black cards are the best part about goblins right now.
Yeah, Jund goblins with like collected company or something. Is that what you're thinking?
I mean, I don't think you can like collected company. I think like goblins is mostly red black right now, and so like, is this plus Grim Gully enough to make them play green?
Oh, Grim Gully, that's the one. I was gonna say, what's the other green card that you'd be interested in? I think, yeah, I mean, I'd be all over collected company if I have Ignoble Hierarch.
That's fair.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, turn two Martyr, Matron, I should say, is really good. So, anyways, yeah, go on.
I don't think Galvanic Relay will see much play, but it's a really cool card.
That old school art reminds me of Arc Lightning, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And that card is a 3-mana sorcery. Exile the top card of your library during your next turn. You may play that card. They definitely fixed this card, because if it just said during, like, until your next turn you could play it, this card would just be like busted and be like the new Gifts Ungiven in Storm, because you just like play a couple rituals, fire this thing off, and like be able to keep going.
Yeah.
So they definitely figured that out.
It's also
Calibrated Blast.
It's also better this way because you don't have to pay the mana for it when you've already invested in the Galvanic Relay. So you're going to be free to actually afford the cards that you're getting exiled off the top.
Yeah, that's true. Next card that's kind of cool, but I don't think you'll see much play, is Calibrated Blast. 2 and a red for an instant. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a non-land. Put the revealed cards on the bottom in a random order. And when you reveal an online card this way, it deals damage. The spell deals damage equal to that card's mana value to any target with flashback 3 red. So, like, the best thing you can do with this is Emrakul, but you need to set it up. So.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about the dog.
You're good.
It's her birthday, by the way. It's my dog's birthday. Hey, by the way, this Calibrated Blast is the type of card I start reading, and I'm like, get through like the second sentence, and I'm like, this is one of those big red splashy cards. But it's only 3 mana, so it's not really
3 mana with flashback.
it's just one of those big red random cards, is what it is.
Yeah, like you can use it as like a stopgap, and then just like use it to kill your opponent if you set up the Emrakul or whatever, or like whatever big dumb thing. But yeah.
Yeah.
You could play this in like a big red deck with Brainstone or whatever, but I mean, we're talking ifs and buts and candies and nuts at this point.
Okay, we've got to talk about Ragavan, the monkey pirate, yes?
Yes, that's the next one I was getting ready to talk about.
Okay, guys, awesome.
All right, I got Ragavan, Nimble Pilfer, red for a 2/1 legendary creature monkey pirate. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, create a treasure and exile the top card of their library. Until end of turn, you may cast that card. So you must pay its correct mana cost. So if you don't have the mana for it, you have to use your treasures. Hopefully your treasures will afford you that ability. And then it has dash for 1 and a red. So if you don't remember what dash is, it has haste. And then at end of turn, return to your hand.
Hey, Savannah Lions, it just wouldn't be good enough these days. So just make sure that it stacks some insane contact
card advantage
bonus.
And mana? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, and I'll give it dash too, just for kicks.
In case you gotta hide it.
The dash is thematic though with its pirate buddy that it comes from, because when you attack with the 1/3 that it you know originally appeared with, it's kind of like the little monkey that pops out of nowhere and goes back.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Cool. But yeah, this card's really good. I don't know where it
cards
belongs.
Just a lot of play. I mean, you'll just see play. Like, there will be red aggressive decks with red in them that will play this card.
Sure.
Next card to talk about, I think, is Suspend. Blue for an instant, exile target creature and put 2 time counters on it. If it doesn't have Suspend, it gains Suspend.
Yeah.
That's a really good removal spell. Like, it's a tempo spell, but you can combine it with things like Wasteland Strangler. And even then, like, if I suspend a Noble Hierarch, am I particularly concerned about it coming back on turn 3 or 4? Nah, not really.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Yeah, I mean...
So, like, usually you can suspend an early creature and not be concerned with it coming back.
Obvious one here is it's combined with Teferi Time Raveler.
Oh, I definitely forgot about that thing, because I prayed that it would be banned at some point.
Yeah, it's still not.
Yeah. All right.
So there's that. But you got to keep in mind, too, that while this is a removal spell for your opponent's creatures, quote-unquote, And in those circumstances, it is just straight up a removal spell. If Teferi's in play, it cannot come back. It also has the upside of being insanely beneficial when your opponent's trying to, like, all right, maybe you chump block with your Snapcaster Mage and then suspend your Snapcaster Mage. And then later on, flashback, like, I'm coming back to Kolgan's Command because I'm trying to think of, like, the best possible outcome here. And usually it's that, something along those lines, you know? So all right. There's some benefits to it on both, you know, both theaters of war.
I'm here. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that. I'm usually not a big creature player. So, yeah, that's... I mean, the first thing I thought of was, like, protecting your Colonnades in, like, a control matchup, but I don't know how that works.
No, that's a thing you can do, too, because the Colonnade can tap for its own blue. Because it's got
I don't vigilance. Know how the suspend works, though. The Colonnade doesn't get cast, so maybe it just eats a man land?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
I do not know how that works, but exciting.
Huh, that's weird.
So, I mean, I think there are cards that I just want to briefly touch on that are worth just, like, pointing out that they exist and then kind of moving on. There's this big reanimator theme. Two cards I'm going to point out that I'm just kind of scrolling down. The first one is this card does not have its correct English name, so I don't know what it is. but it's 2BB for a 2/2 zombie warlock with death touch. When it enters the battlefield, search a library for a card, put that card in your graveyard, and shuffle. So just like an Entomb.
The name that they gave it as a placeholder is hilarious, though. Specialist Entomber Junior Grade.
Yeah. There's also a 2-mana non-legendary Entomb. You can Entomb any card that's not legendary. So they're definitely going for like a nice little reanimator theme here with the payoff spell being Persist. So 1BB for a sorcery, return target non-legendary creature from a graveyard to your battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on it. So like that's sort of a nice little theme they're going for in this set for draft, but Persist I think we'll see a lot of play in Modern because there are a lot of good non-legendary creatures that you can persist back. So that's kind of like my little spiel on that.
Well, there's one more biggin.
Biggin? Archon of Cruelty?
No. I just don't know the name of this card. I'm looking for it right now. It's 1BB for a sorcery, and it's just basically Entomb. It just puts a card in your graveyard.
I touched on it, but I don't remember the name of it, yeah.
Unmarked Grave. Search a library for a non-legendary card, put that card in your graveyard, then shuffle.
Yeah, I touched on that card. I just didn't know its name. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry. Unmarked Grave. Which fits into the, like, I think this set is like the time where they're like admitting like Entomb is okay for Modern, at least you know, conditional Entomb, and there's like a lot of these creatures that can do it at a really affordable rate. Like, remember, 3-mana is kind of like the cutoff for like playable creatures in Modern. Like, they have to be really powerful for a 4-mana creature to be played, but 3 you can get away with in a lot of cases, and it's Coco targetable, etc., etc. That warlock is pretty appealing for a lot of reasons. But this Unmarked Grave, not only does it like set up for like reanimator strategies, it's also really cool in Phoenix.
I was also gonna say it's good for Life from the Loam.
Ah, yeah, so you can put the Life from the Loam in there. Okay,
yeah, some sort of lands type strategy. Fortunately, they banned Field of the Dead.
Yeah,
okay, but yeah. No, I actually didn't mind playing against Field of the Dead, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Unmarked Grave is not far from like Demonic Tutor level. Like, this card, don't underestimate the power of putting a card into your graveyard. There's a lot that can be done with this thing.
Do not.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep on rolling.
So keep that an eye on that one. I think Phoenix to me is the most obvious target. Like, obviously Dredge might care about this, but not
Dredge will play it.
Dredge is like card capacity, card quantity is maybe more important than this. But Phoenix, there are some games where it can be really awkward. You just can't find it.
Dredge plays Shriekhorn.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think Shriekhorn's better than this for Dredge.
I respectfully disagree with that. Really? Because you have to hit a Dredger. You have to hit a Dredger with Shriekhorn for it to be like, for it to have made its due. Whereas this just gives you a Dredger.
Yeah, but
it always gives you stink week.
If you don't have a dredger in the top six cards of your library, you're not winning that game.
I suppose.
That's like the window of opportunity for your opponent to like do something about your plan. And if the door's shut, the door's shut. But on Unmarked Grave, you have to play on two anyway, and sometimes you can't even get your second land in dredge.
That's fair. Cool cards as I'm continuing down here. Cursed Totem, 2-mana artifact. Activated abilities of creatures can't be activated. It's just a good hate card that was seen that was not printed often, so its price kind of rose. So this is like one of those 2-for-1s where it's like not a bad card to have in Commander or in Modern to like be able to shut off things like Kitchen Finks combos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also just a good one to reprint for Commander. Nothing else here really jumps off the page to me. Then we keep scrolling. Moderation is like an interesting card that if people can figure out how to use it, it'll be good, but it's really awkward. You can't cast more than one spell each turn. Whenever you cast a spell, draw a card. So it's like, obviously you want to do flash things with it, but,
moderation.
Yeah.
What is that?
One blue, white for an enchantment. You can't cast more than one spell each turn. Whenever you cast a spell, draw a card.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I couldn't figure that one out. I was trying to crack that one.
So it's obviously you want to do, like, flash things. Because, like, you cast a spell on your turn, you draw a card. You cast a spell on their turn, you draw a card. And you just can keep going back and forth with this. You just need to have impactful spells. Like, you're talking, like, we're going further away from, like, I want my one spell to be Path to Exile or Fatal Push. And we're moving towards, like, wanting to fairy and then like doing stuff like Jace on my turn, Supreme Verdict on yours. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, where you're like playing more impactful spells and keeping up that way.
Yeah.
That's
cool though. I think that's, it reminds me of like a Pharah, the God of the Polis, the God of the Polis, where you get that incremental value, but it doesn't, maybe incremental isn't the right word, but you get that card draw on a consistent basis.
Incremental is, in fact, the exact word you're looking for.
Doesn't build
Titania, Protector of Argoth. Awesome to have.
Yeah, that's a reprint that's needed. That's an expensive one that...
It's 3 green-green for Legendary Creature Elemental, 5/3. When there's the battlefield, return a land from your graveyard to the battlefield. So it ramps you. And then when one of your lands goes from the battlefield to the graveyard, make a 5/3. So... sacrificing your lands with Zurin Orb, which is in this set, or just like having Ghost Quarters and Field of Ruins and stuff like that. Fetch lands will make you an army of 5/3s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Academy Manufacturer is going to affect Modern, but it's cool. If you make a clue, food, or treasure, make one of each.
What do you think about this Sudden Edict, though? You skipped Sudden Edict.
You didn't get there yet.
I'm sorry. Okay, Academy Manufacturer. If you create a clue or treasure, you create one of each. Yeah, it's a 1/3. That's an oddball card. I don't know what that even does, to be honest with you. There's one other card in the set it pairs with.
So it basically, like, there's the new Tireless Tracker it pairs with.
Yeah.
It pairs with Tireless Tracker and anything that makes treasures, anything that makes clues or food, like goose. But basically it makes your one artifact generation make 3. So, like, I don't know if that's ever going to, like, it'll be great for Urza decks that are, like, if they make food with Gilded Goose or whatever. But, like, I just don't know if that's enough. It'll be really good in EDH, but just, we talked about the...
I misread it. So, it's if any one of those would be made, all 3 of them are made, rather than if it's, like, you had a choice. Okay, I see. Okay, that is if you make a... strong.
Yeah, it's strong. I just don't know where you're going to see it. It has to pair with Urza if you see it in Modern. Because it's like, okay, I make a clue, which means I make 3 artifacts. Which then, like, if you have something that you can pay, like, a nominal amount of mana to generate food or clues or whatever, then you could go infinite with Urza in this card. So, like, if there's something that's, like, 1, make a food, you could go infinite with Urza. That's a thing. I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah, you're right. And then, there's probably a combo there where turning like infinite clue or food generation into infinite mana generation is breakable. So
yeah,
that's probably the trick. But I think more or less this is just a commander card where it's like, oh, there's a lot of cards that do one of these 3 things, and all of a sudden they get way stronger because commander is all about value.
We talked about Red Root Walla, but you wanted to get to Sudden Edict. So one in a black, split second, instant, target player sacrifices a creature. So it's a better Diabolic Edict.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to think of like a situation where this is necessary, where you'd want the split second on an Edict card. But typically the split seconds have like a niche where it's like, yeah, that's really worthwhile.
I mean, it's just like a campy counter Edict. Like, I can think of the niche for this is like Infect style things, like Infect, Heroic, Shroud, Hexproof stuff.
Yeah.
Like if they are like going to create a Dryad Arbor or something in response, they can't do that.
Okay. Because you
second Edict them.
Well, Through the Breach is one of the most played decks according to Goldfish right now, and it's a blue red Through the Breach, so they've got counter magic. And if they're
boarding, but split second means you can't counter it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So it's good against that. Because you need to deal with Thaumricruel, obviously, is the problem. If that needed to be said, it is now said.
All right, so I got three cards in a row here that we need to look at. So the first one is Karmic Guide. So this is a reprint, three white-white for a 2/2 Angel Spirit, flying, protection from black, echo, three white-white. When it enters the battlefield, return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. This gives you a lot of the, like, Protean Hulk loops that people used to have in their Protean Hulk decks, and it's just, like, a good value creature. Yeah, so, like, Protean Hulk, normally you'd go, I mean, you're still susceptible to graveyard hate. Normally you'd go body double and a one drop sack outlet, and you sack the body double to go get Mike and Ballista. But this is just like a different way to do it. But it's also just like a good value creature for like your Soul Herder Ephemerate style decks, where you can like put this in play, get back a Soul Herder or a Witness, get back a card, or like blink it again, get back another creature. So like you can kind of make your battlefields get really big, and it also creates the availability for the Sophie Eric's Daughter combos to like be a thing with stock outlets. So I mean, it just kind of opens up a lot of doors. I don't know how much play it'll see, but just kind of something to look at.
It's cute and fun, probably not good enough. I think the Protean Hulk decks are a little too fiddly for Modern. There's just too many moving parts for them.
I mean I agree with that. I just figured I'd point it out as a thing. Fire Ice is a nice one that is a legacy card ported to Modern now. So it's split card. Fire is one in a red for an instant. Deal 2 damage divided as you choose among one or two targets. And then Ice is one in a blue. Tap target permanent, draw card.
I've been waiting for this one for a long time.
Yeah. Good for your Ice Conceptors if you're into that. Good for your Snapcaster Mages. Just a nice card to have around.
I like the watermarks too. I didn't mention that earlier when I was talking about the callbacks, but this one's got the apocalypse watermarks on now both halves of the card because it's a split.
Yeah. It's very nice. And then the third card here before we just keep on scrolling is Sanctifier Invec. And this card is stupid.
Yeah, it really is.
So it's white for a 2/2 human cleric. Protection from black and red. When it enters the battlefield, exile all cards that are black or red from all graveyards. If a black or red permanent spell or card not on the battlefield will be put into a graveyard, exile instead. So basically a big old FU to black and red. Just runs all over Dredge. If you like sweep their board and then play this card, it eats their board or eats their graveyard. This card's dumb.
Yeah, this card is like as a humans player, I would be really excited to see this. But as a humans player, I would also be guilty. It feels like a cheat code. Like the design of this one is just so that you really don't have to consider other options. Once again, it's just this is the obvious like thing. Now there's like small windows of opportunity for Dredge decks to like get through this because it only has protection from black and red, and Dredge also plays green spells. But what in the hell are they going to do with green to get rid of this freaking card? You know, like so it's just too perfect.
It's not the like protection from black and red part that matters. It's the second line of text.
No, all of it matters. If there's a rest in peace on the board that you can't deal with, that's a problem.
Yeah, this card's kind of insane.
I mean, the problem cards in Dredge are all red. You know, like if you can get rid of their Conflagrates, you win the game. And this gets rid of their Conflagrates and also is a card that you can't conflagrate or you can't nature's claim. So it's just, it's really just stupid. It kind of just invalidates that matchup for yep. the two, you know. It's not even worth playing if this card's around.
Yep.
So all right, but it's good. I'm gonna play this card. Don't get me wrong.
Card's very good. Card's very dumb. I'm gonna skip on down to Territorial Kavu.
Oh yeah, this guy's a cool callback. Not a reprint, but a callback in that it is a Kavu. And we haven't seen one of these in freaking forever.
Yeah. Red green for a creature Kavu star, power and toughness equal to the number of basic land types you control. When it attacks, choose one, discard a card if you do draw a card, or exile one card from a graveyard. This card's very good. Like, looting away extra lands is great, and then, like, maybe you play bigger Domain Zoo. Now that we have Triomes, you can get all five colors on turn two, like all five land types. So this is just a 2-mana 5/5.
Oh my god. Yeah. I haven't really even looked at this guy much before now. I mean, I like glanced at him earlier, and I was like, yeah, that's a good card. Yeah. But you just said Domain Zoo, and I got really excited. Because favorite deck to play.
Like, you're not playing a bunch of one drops because, like, you're trying to do Triumph things.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you could definitely, like, play this guy on turn two off of another shock land. Like, so you do, like, Raghuran Triumph, fetch Overgrown Tomb, and you have all your colors, and you play this guy on turn two, and you have a 5/5 that turns on your tribal, like, your tribal flame's worth five now. Like,
oh my god. Yeah. Yeah. Daryl just mentioned the card Tribal Flames. If you're not familiar with Domain Zoo, let me just read this card to you, because it'll make anyone that plays Modern salivate a little bit. It's this is a reprint from Invasion, by the way, that was reprinted into a Master set somewhere a long way, so it is Modern legal. Tribal Flames is one in red for a sorcery. It's a common. It has domain. It deals X damage to target creature or player, where X is the number of basic land types among the lands you control. In Modern, by turn three, you can consistently get five on turn three. It's not hard to do with fetch lands, not even in the slightest. Nope. Even if it's four, 2 mana for 4 damage to the dome or to a creature is just good enough. That's just fine. So yep. Pair that with, like, you're in five colors, so you might as well play, like, you could play Snapcaster Mage in that, and that's 10 damage. That's half their damn life total. So this guy yeah. right here being a 2-mana 5/5. That loots. What's the opposite of loot? What do you call that? Rummage?
Rummage.
Rummages. Yeah. And then also takes care of graveyards. Oh my god. I'm excited. I'm gonna play this.
Yeah, yeah. So this is very good. Like, even if you play it in, like, standard Boomer Jund, it's a 3/3 that does those things.
Yeah, and that might be the case, actually. It might go into Jund, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, not offensive for as a 3/3 that does those things. Like, I'm a huge... I just think this card's very good. I think we'll see a lot of play. I'm just going to bounce across some cards. Gorilla Shaman, nice reprint to see. Bone Shredder, nice reprint to see. More for a limited. Flame Blitz is a card that Corey really likes.
Yeah.
Which is red for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, Flame Blitz deals 5 damage to each Planeswalker with Cycling 2. So... worth noting that this happens every turn. So it's a very good answer to Planeswalkers.
Like, thematically, for a card to do 5 damage every turn to anything to cost 1 mana, it seems ludicrous to me. It doesn't matter what it targets, but for a 1-mana spell to just be like, hey, I was just like 5 damage to this thing every turn for the rest of time until you destroy me. It's like,
yeah.
What? Where did that come from? How does 1 mana produce that much firepower? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
But this card is great. This is great.
All right.
Each Planeswalker. So it's not just 5 damage. It could be like 15. You know. Just
yeah. So. Yeah.
I love it. It is necessary. But it's another one where it's like, okay, yeah, you no longer have to worry about Planeswalkers. Just don't think about those anymore. Just play Flame Blitz, right?
Yeah. Okay. Just play Flame Blitz.
Dan.
Damn. Black for a sorcery, destroy target creature. A creature destroyed this way can't be regenerated with overload for 2 white-white. So it's a singleton. It's a spot removal spell that avoids Gaddic Teeth that can be overloaded to Wrath of God.
Yeah, and can destroy trolls, no problem, because those have been a real issue for Modern players for a long time. Why do we even bother with their can't be regenerated anymore?
I don't know.
It's just thematic for Damnation, right? Or for Wrath of God, Damnation. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much. So I have a few more cards I want to get through, and then probably we're gonna run out of time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, go ahead.
This
card's really good. No need to say it. We can move on. Damnation is insane.
Damnation, good. Vindicate was printed into Modern finally after 10 years. One black white sorcery, destroy target permanent. Good old land destruction. Needed this for your control decks to kill those Tron lands, finally. Good to have Vindicate around. Never really thought this was too good for Modern. Glad to have it back.
Yeah, it's definitely not too good. I don't even know if it'll see play.
I don't either, in all honesty. Combo alert. Just going to let you know that. Sanctum Weaver, one in a green for an enchantment creature Dryad. Tap, add X mana of any one color, where X is the number of enchantments you control, to your mana pool. This is going to be able to make infant mana on turn 3. I can't remember the name of the stupid card. It's a 3 mana blue enchantment that is freed from the reel. That's blue, untap a creature, blue, tap the creature that's enchanted by it. And so you put this thing on this guy on turn 3, you make 2 blue mana, you untap it, you tap it for 2 blue mana, you untap it, turn 3 you're going to make infinite mana of all of the colors. So, because this thing is an enchantment, and then freed from the reel is your second enchantment. So, watch out.
Yeah.
Combo alert. Combo alert.
That's nasty.
Yeah. Timeless Witness, 2 green for a human shaman. It's just Eternal Witness. It's 2/1. It's Eternal Witness with Eternalize, 5 green. So if you needed more Eternal Witnesses in your commander deck or something like that, they exist. I don't think the Eternalize is ever going to be relevant on this card, and most decks won't play more than 4 Eternal Witnesses. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just wanted to point it out, though. All right. So the last thing I wanted to get to before we departed is the most important thing, which is these freaking elementals.
Oh, I just say Phantasmal Deadmaw. Just kidding. Go on.
No. Grief, Solitude, Subtlety. I don't remember what the red and the green one are. They don't matter.
No, they. Subtlety. I like the green one.
I don't remember its name.
Okay. It does matter, though. It's a good card.
I mean, the green and red ones. I'll try and find them.
All right. I'll work on that while you talk. You talk. Endurance is the green one.
Endurance is the green one. Who cares about the red one? It deals 4. We'll talk about what they all do. So they're all spells. They're basically callbacks to spells that are evoke creatures that you can pitch a card of that shares a color with them to evoke them. So they're creatures. They can stay on the battlefield. Or, for instance, Grief is a functional reprint of Unmask. So it's a 4-mana 3/2 that when it enters the battlefield, you look at target player's hand, and they discard a card from it. That's a non-land card. And then you can pitch a black card to cast it for evoke. So it comes in the battlefield, it triggers, and you sacrifice. So the black one is Unmask. The power, toughness, and stats on these don't really matter. The black one is Unmask. The white one is Swords to Plowshares. The blue one returns a spell that is a creature or planeswalker to the top or bottom of its owner's library. The green one shuffles in target player's graveyard into their library. And then the red one deals 4 damage to creatures and planeswalkers as you see fit.
Yeah. Cards are cool. Unmask is a pretty powerful card.
So the black and the white ones are going to be the most problematic ones.
Yeah.
And because I played so much Soul Hoarder, the first thing I thought of was Ephemerate.
Right.
So, like, you play your land on turn 1, and then you pitch a black card, and you play Grief.
Ephemerate?
So, I'll set it up for you, explaining how this works. Okay. So, it's Evoke trigger, enter the battlefield trigger on Grief. You can put the Evoke trigger on the bottom of the stack, and the Unmask trigger on the top. So, you look at your opponent's hand, you can take a removal spell from them, and then you can break your fetch land, get a white mana and ephemerate this thing before it sacrifices itself. It enters the battlefield, you unmask your opponent again. It's a new object, you don't sacrifice it. And then if your opponent doesn't top deck a removal spell for it on the one turn they have, ephemerate rebounds and unmasks them a third time.
Yeah, it's crazy. What does the fetch land have to do with this? Am I missing something?
It's just a mana source. Just a white mana source.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You have to have a white mana source to cast ephemerate. It just, I said fetch land for unknown reason. It could have been you just had a Godless Shrine in your hand.
Okay,
whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Just white source of mana that you play before you cast your evoke creature.
Do these say that you have to have a black source in order to unmask them, right?
No, you just have to pitch a black card.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it could just be a plains even, right?
Yeah. Okay, I just figured you'd want both of your colors.
Sure.
But basically you just shred your opponent's hand and you leave yourself with a 3/2 or something like that.
With Menace too.
With Menace. For the white one, you leave yourself with a lifelink creature that kills multiple of your opponent's creatures with this ephemerate thing going on. And so, and even if you don't have ephemerate, so, like, you just don't happen to have ephemerate, on turn two, you can play Persist and bring them back with a -1/-1 counter and unmask your opponent or swords again. So, mm-hmm. There's that synergy of, I don't care if I evoke this creature by pitching a card, I'm going to bring it back to life and then have it in play again. So to me, I'm looking at that thing plus Persist, can I play both of the black and the white one? Cause I think they're the best ones with Persist, Ephemerate, and Priest of the Fell Gods or whatever it's called. That's white, black for a 2/2 with tap, sack, pay 3 life, reanimate a creature that has Eternalize or that has Unearth for 3 black, white. So, you can keep reanimating things.
Yeah, Priest of the Fell Rites. So,
oh, nice. I almost got it. Priest of the Fell Rites.
Not bad.
That's close. But, some sort of black-white taxes sort of thing with this, reanimate sub-theme or, blink sub-theme.
Yeah, Ephemerate is pretty broken with these guys. I mean, it's going to feel pretty bad to have this happen to on turn one, for sure.
I mean, that's just trying to say, here's if I do it fair. That's the fair version. Because, the fair version leaves you with 3 cards in your hand. If you do it on the play, you have 3 cards, your opponent has 4.
Yeah.
But you have a 3/2 body, or whatever, 3/2 menace.
Right.
That you could blink with some other thing for more value. But that doesn't account for, the unfair decks that are going to use this thing, oops all spells. Just gets to pitch their bad lands to unmask you so that they can go off.
Yeah, it's wild that these cards are existing in this format. I mean, it's just even just casting 4 mana for a flash creature that does the thing that they do. Do they all have flash or just the blue
one? No, the blue one does, the white one does, the green one does, and I think the red one might. I think the black one's just the only one.
That's the sorcery one. Okay, all right. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
It's pyrokinesis. Subtlety is something else. I can't remember. Oh, but white source of pleasures.
Because they're instants. Got it.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, because the spell that they're templated off of is instant. Pyrokinesis is an instant, but they added planeswalkers to it. Unmask is a sorcery. That's why it's
okay. So I'm happy that the choices weren't so obvious as to what the what the blue one was. The blue one could very easily just be counter target spell. So they got a little creative with that. I like that it's kind of like a put the spell on top of the library type of thing instead. Or is it on the bottom maybe?
Top or bottom? Your opponent's choice.
So it's maybe better in some cases.
I think it would have been better if it would have been submerge.
Yeah.
That would have been a really good choice.
But the endurance, I thought, and we were texting about this earlier in the week, I was thinking that was going to be a fight one or +1/+1 counters on a creature. I'm happy to see it deals with graveyards, but the way that it deals with graveyards, I don't think this one's really going to be good enough, to be honest.
But yeah, just a flash Loaming Shaman, basically, which is not unplayable for endurance, but...
Yeah, Loaming Shaman, yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, the black one and the white one are going to be some problems, I think. And so it's from my perspective, I'm trying to mentally figure out, is there a way we can do some sort of Taxes style deck that like is doing this. So like Tide Hollow Sculler, like are there good black and white Taxes cards that can pitch to both that I can play Ephemerate, and then like Eldrazi Displacer looks like a good pivot point for this deck.
Yeah, ooh, yes. All right, I like that.
Yeah, so you see, like, there's this, like, Taxes with a Blink sub theme. So it's like, all right, I can cut Path to Exile straight up, just, like, don't play it.
Yep.
And play Solitude.
Yeah.
You can play Grief for your discard. Tide Hollow Sculler is a nice discard body in the middle that's both pitchable to both. You can play the Priest, the white-black Priest, as, like, this thing that has to get killed. Otherwise, you're going to get some reanimates out of it. And so, like, it's like, okay, how do I blink? Well, I can play Ephemerate. Do I play Aether Vial? Do I play Eldrazi Displacer? Do I play Soul Herder? Like, what directions do I kind of like? But, like, that feels like the core of a, like, the centerpiece of a deck. You can play Cambal if you're interested in that, as, like, an anti-combo card or an anti-control card as you're doing chip shot damage. Stone Fortress is probably your long game with a Batter Skull and a couple swords. But yeah, it's just like trying to find the pieces that fit in the middle. You could play like your new 3-2 guy that is a rest in peace. You could probably play Unearth.
Put this in like a small pox blood gas deck?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just thinking color wise. I've seen a lot of strong like black white small pox decks, and if you're trying to attrition them out of their hand and get go after their lands at the same time, I wonder, it's kind of like two separate strategies. But
yeah, I didn't necessarily know if I was trying to go directly after their lands. Like, I was thinking more like the, you know, but like this is kind of what I see as the centerpiece of a deck, is like these, like four of these two split cards, some number of good like enter the battlefield or taxing creatures in the middle that are like both colors that help kind of slow your opponent down, like that are speed bumps like Tide Hollow Sculler and Cambal and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool. Sign me up for that. That sounds like it's like a lot of fun to play.
And then like Ephemerate is like a like an engine.
Yeah.
But then like what are good other enter the battlefield creatures that would work on both sides of this? So it's like trying to put all the pieces together is like an interesting puzzle. But like in my brain, I'm just like, well, this just seems like a place to start. It's just like these two powerful pitch cards take care of both sides of the meta. They take care of, you know, Solitude takes care of the Monastery Swift Spear aggressive deck side of the meta. And then like Grief takes care of the control combo side of the meta. Mm-hmm. So like playing both of these cards gives you a lot of maneuverability. And so it's like, how do I fill in the rest of that shell in a meaningful way?
Yeah. Solitude, by the way, the alternate art for this one is so freaking good.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god, you gotta look it up. In fact, all of them are really good. I'm less excited about the alternate art for Grief than the others, but Solitude is particularly awesome. So take a look at that one.
But yeah, that's the last thing I wanted to cover, was just like those are gonna be really, really strong. I just don't know how. Like, I know that Grief is going to be the most played.
Yeah, for sure.
Solitude will also probably see some play. But Grief being a combo enabler, like, protection for combo decks is going to be abysmal. In combo decks that are black.
Yeah.
I can also see that being a card that gets played in the devoted druid strategies. Or, like, green-black Yawgmoth, stuff like that.
Grief, huh? Yeah, I guess just like clear the path for your combo to go off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You could do it in the Postmortem Lunge versions of those decks pretty easily because you'll have some extra black cards to pitch.
Yeah. Green black Yawgmoth is probably the place you're going to see it more, but yeah.
Okay. All right, man. Well, there's still a lot for us to talk about next time. We haven't even covered Imperial Recruiter or any of that yet. So Quirion Ranger, for that matter, is on the docket for next time. I definitely have some thoughts on that guy. But
yeah, man,
this set is juiced. It is pushed to the extreme.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you
next time. Take it easy, everybody.
Goodbye.
Modern Medical is a production of CarKnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CarKnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarKnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading CarKnockLife content.